Now to teach us God's word, Reverend Steve Zaleze, standing up ahead.
Take your Bibles, everybody, and look at Matthew chapter 9. Matthew chapter 9 today. Well, this afternoon we're going to look at being especially good to individuals. Because here, as we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men. So if we're going to do good unto all men, a good place to start is to do good to individuals. So in Matthew chapter 9 and in verse 36, Matthew chapter 9 and in verse 36. Everybody okay? Okay. Matthew chapter 9 and verse 36, it says, But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them, because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. Sometimes people who've been taught the accuracy of God's word over the years get scattered. And sometimes that happens to people. People get scattered. People sometimes get neglected or treated bad. People get scattered as sheep having no shepherd. People need to be led, to be taught well, and to be treated in an especially good way. People who've been hurt need abundance of the love of God. People who've been taught wrong need right doctrine. People who've been loved need more love. And people who've received an abundance of God's word need more Bible. We all need to be especially good to each other. And here at this weekend, we can practice this in a really wonderful way. You know, things are to be loved and people are to be used. Look at... No? Okay, that's good. Some of you didn't catch that. So today we're going to look at God's goodness to us. And that's a good place to start. God's goodness to individuals. We're going to see Jesus Christ and how he was good to individuals in his ministry. And then we're going to look at, in our lives, for us to be especially good to the household of faith. Also, we're going to read some verses, and whenever you read a verse, it's really important to take it in the context. Remember, all Scripture interprets itself in the verse, context, or as used before. So we want to always look at the context of these verses. So let's take a look at Matthew chapter 7, very briefly. Matthew 7, and in verse 11, Matthew 7. Matthew 7, verse 11. You know, in Psalm 84, it says, "No good thing will God uphold from them that walk uprightly." No good thing. Everybody say the word good. Good. One more time. Good. One more time. Good. Good. What are we going to study? Good. Okay, we got it. Okay, Matthew 7, verse 11. We want to be especially good. Matthew 7, verse 11, it says, "If you then, being evil, know how to give what?" Good. See, with a little practice, it's really cool. "If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father, which is in heaven, give good things to them that ask him?" So God gives good things. And, you know, he gave us a very good gift, and that was the gift of Holy Spirit. We got eternal life. We have righteousness, sanctification, and redemption. We have access. What a fantastic teaching we heard on prayer today, right? You know, when we pray, each individual believer gets through, right? not half of us are, you know, don't get through and we wind up with a call center in India. That doesn't work. We all get through. When we pray, we don't, you know, get a computer, you know, that gives us a menu of four different options. We all have access to God, you know. And we're all equal, all abilities. He's not a respecter of people at all. And that's really, really important. It doesn't matter how tall we are, and I'm thankful for that, quite honestly. It doesn't matter what we look like. It doesn't matter whatever, what language we speak, what country we come from. We all get the same, which is great, because God is no respecter of persons. Everybody's got the same, an equal playing field. So God gives us good things, and he gave us Holy Spirit. We all got the same. Look at Luke chapter 12 for a minute. Luke 12. Joe kind of covered this briefly this morning. Luke 12. Sure heard some great teachings here today. Luke chapter 12. God is good to us, and we want to learn to be good, especially good to each other. Look at Luke chapter 12 and in verse 6. It says, Luke 12, verse 6, it says, "Are not five sparrows sold for 2 farthings? In Bible times, that was the cheapest coin, kind of like we might say a penny. So you get 5 sparrows for 2 pennies, such a deal. Are they expensive? Sparrows? Nah, not at all. They're cheap. They're on sale. Been on sale for a long time. Are not 5 sparrows sold for 2 farthings? 2 pennies, maybe? And not one of them is forgotten before God? Man, these birds are cheap. They're cheap, and even God remembers them. And they're almost worthless. They're cheap. Verse 7, "But even the very hairs on your head are numbered. Fear not, therefore, ye are more value than many," what? That makes a lot of sense, doesn't it? Those sparrows, they don't, you know, for pennies. But God takes care of us, and we're worth a lot more. And he knows the very hairs on his head. Now, I've been happily married for a long time, and I love my wife. But you know, if she said to me, "Steve, would you count the hairs on my head?" I might not want to do that, because that's a lot of hairs on her head. And I would probably say, "Honey, I love you, but you know what? I don't have time to do that. I don't want to do that." God knows the hairs on our head. He's an individual God. We have access to him. He's our Father. He knows us individually to that extent. And that is very important. Because we want to be just like him. We want to have individual care for other people. Now, that's not saying after the fellowship today, we ought to go outside and count each other's hair. That's not very good. But we ought to have that concern for other people. Look at Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians 4. You know, the church epistles were written to the saints, to individuals. God wrote the church epistles to Christian believers, the saints. Grace and peace to each one of us. Ephesians chapter 4. God is an individual God. He wants to deal with us individually. Some of us have children. We deal with our kids individually. We want them blessed as individuals. Look at this. Ephesians chapter 4 and in verse 16, it says, from whom the whole body, fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplies, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, makes increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. As every part gets blessed, then the whole body gets blessed. We're members in particular. God works with each one of us. What's good for the part is good for the whole. What's good for the part is good for the whole. God works with each one of us individually. As we get blessed as individuals, then the whole body is edified. The whole body gets blessed. So what's good for us as individuals, God, then the whole body gets blessed. In communism, what's good for the whole is good for the part. In the body of Christ, God deals with us as individuals. What's good for the part is good for the whole. And that's really important because we're all his kids and he wants us to really grow. Let's take a look very briefly at the ministry of Jesus Christ, all right? So let's take a look at Luke chapter 8, please. Luke chapter 8. All right, we're going to stop this teaching just for one second. We're going to practice being especially good to the household of faith. Could you guys give a hug to the person on your right, please? Try that. Okay. Come back to reality. I just lost control. Come back to reality. That helps you to digest your lunch. You know, I tried that last year. Somehow it never really works when everybody tries to hug the person on the right. Okay, look at Luke chapter 8. Luke 8. So Jesus Christ dealt with people individually. Some of the great teachings that he did were to individuals. In John chapter 3, he taught to Nicodemus. In John chapter 4, he taught to the woman at the well. In Luke 24, he taught to the two guys on the road to Damascus. Was it Damascus? Very good. It was Emmaus. Okay. Hey, some of you are in Damascus. Okay. So it was Emmaus. So he dealt with individuals. He took care of individuals. Look at Luke chapter 8, please. Luke chapter 8 and in verse 2. Luke chapter 8, verse 2. Look at this. This is pretty cool. It says, "And certain women which had been healed of evil spirits and infirmities." So these individual ladies were healed. "Certain women which had been healed of evil spirits and infirmities, Mary called Magdalene, out of whom went seven devils, and Joanna, the wife of Chuza, Herod's servant, and Susanna, and many others which ministered unto him of their" what? So, look at this. Individual deliverance leads to godly service. Individual deliverance leads to godly service. There were people delivered in his ministry, and then they served. There was some goodness being shared. Look at Mark chapter 1. Mark 1. Mark 1. So he took care of individuals. Mark chapter 1 and in verse 40, he was good to individuals. God is good to us. Mark 1, verse 40, it says, Mark 1, verse 40, it says, "And there came a leper to him, beseeching him, and kneeling down to him, saying unto him, if thou wilt, thou canst make me what?" In Bible times, lepers were outcasts in society. Lepers lived outside of town. If you were at an advance with a leper and he was sitting at your table, you would leave and go somewhere else. So lepers were not accepted. They were outside of the town. You didn't talk to lepers. You didn't communicate to lepers. You stayed away from lepers. Lepers didn't get a lot of hugs as they walked down the street. Saying, "If thou wilt, thou canst make me clean." And Jesus, moved with compassion, put forth his hand and touched him and said, "Dude, you need some makeup." Is that what he said? No. He said, Jesus, moved with compassion, put forth his hand and touched him, and saith unto him, I will, be thou clean. People didn't touch lepers. People walked away from lepers. People didn't get near lepers, and he touched them. Does that mean we have to touch all lepers because we want to be like Christ? No, there was revelation involved. He always did the will of the Father. He took time to take care of this individual, and that's really important. And Jesus moved with what? Compassion, goodness to individuals, put forth his hand, touched him, and saith unto him, I will, be thou clean. Deliverance. And as soon as he had spoken, immediately the leprosy departed from him, and he was what? Cleansed. Jesus Christ took care of individuals. So this godly service here, we see he took care of individuals, and they were delivered. Now, you know, Jesus Christ had a lot on his plate, didn't he? You know, he had a few things to do. He had an important job. And, you know, I mean, he had some responsibilities in his life. You know, he was to walk perfectly and redeem all of mankind. I mean, that's kind of a pretty important job. Yet he had a lot on his plate in life. Yet he took time to have compassion on individuals, to bring to pass deliverance in their lives. He had compassion. Now, I know a lot of us have a lot on our plate also, correct? However, we may also choose to find a little time to help some people along the way. Look here with me at 2 Timothy chapter 2. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and in verse 1. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1. So we're studying 2 Timothy chapter 3, please. We're studying being especially good to individuals. Jesus Christ in his ministry delivered individuals. We're studying goodness. Look at here, 2 Timothy 3, verse 16. Very common scripture, most of us know this. 2 Timothy 3:16, it says, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, throughly furnished unto all what? All what? Ah, okay, so we saw how God was good. We saw how Jesus Christ treated individuals in a very good way. Now we want to begin to see how we can be especially good to the household of faith. And to get a little preparation for that, look at this. It says, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, truly furnished unto all good works. Do you think if we have some Bible in our brains, that's going to help us to be especially good to the household of faith? By the way, for you Greek scholars, it's the same word good as in Galatians chapter 6. So if I want to be especially good to the household, maybe by being into God's word, it helps me, prepares me for all good works. Look at the tie-in. Very cool. Very cool tie-in. Look here for at Luke chapter 6. Luke 6. This is good. Luke 6. So, how are we going to be especially good? Well, God is good to us. We saw Jesus Christ was good to individuals. How are we going to be especially good? Get some Bible in there. Look at Luke chapter 6 and in verse 45. Luke 6, 45. Okay, here we go. A what? A good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth that which is what? Is there a word repeated three times? Must be good here. Okay, now, a good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth that which is good. Do you guys like chocolate chip cookies? How many of you like chocolate chip cookies? Now, some of you love to bake. Now, in that chocolate chip cookie, you put in some of that chocolate chip goodness, don't you? So when that chocolate chip goodness is in there, guess what comes out? Some chocolate chip goodness. That's right. We're putting God's word in our brain, which is good. And guess what comes out? Some goodness. And then guess what we can do? Be especially what?
Good.
See, I'll try anything to keep you guys involved. Okay. Now, let's look at Romans. The plot thickens. Romans chapter 16. Romans chapter 16. All scripture interprets itself in the verse, in the context, or as used before. A very interesting context. Romans chapter 16 and in verse 19. Romans 16, 19. Romans 16, 19. Look at this. It says, "For your obedience is come abroad unto all men, and I am glad, therefore, on your behalf. But yet, I would have you wise unto all that which is what?
Good.
And simple concerning what? Simple means not mixed up, harmless, like you stay away from it. You're pure from it. And that's cool. You know, we're to be wise concerning that which is good, and we're not to be mixed up concerning evil. I mean, that's pretty simple, right? Why don't we look at that in the context of it and see? Now, let's look at back at Romans 16, 17. Romans 16, verse 17. Now, this is the context of this, and we always want to read things in their context. Now, Romans 16, 17. Now, I beseech you, brethren, mark them which cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which you've learned, and do what? Avoid them. Don't get mixed up with them. Avoid them. For they are such which serve not the Lord Jesus Christ, but their own belly. That's an interesting figure of speech, isn't it? Just serving your belly. But their own belly, and by good words and fair speeches deceive the hearts of the simple. So in the context, we're not to get mixed up with wrong doctrine and people who are teaching it. You know, now verse 19. For your obedience is come abroad unto all men. I am glad therefore on your behalf. But yet I would have you wise unto that which is good, God's word, and simple, not mixed up, pure concerning evil. And the evil in the context is the spreading of the wrong doctrine. So let's face it, people who spread wrong doctrine are not doing especially good to the household of faith. You see it in the context? Very, very cool. So we want to stay away from that. We want to be wise to that which is good. And we want to help people to believe what's accurate according to the scriptures. And that's really good. So let's take a look here a little further. Let's take a look at Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews 10, please. Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews 10. Look at this. Hebrews 10. This is one of my favorite verses in the Bible. Hebrews 10, 24. Hebrews 10, 24. This is a good one to do this weekend. It says, "And let us consider one another." Consider one another. Consider one another. To provoke unto love and what? provoke unto love and good works. That means I think of somebody and I think about them. I think about them so I can get over on them. I can trick them. I can get money from them. Steal a kiss from them. No, it's we think about them so that we can do what? We can provoke them to love and good works. What's the theme for this weekend? Especially do good unto them who are the household of faith. So we're to provoke other people so they do good works. And some of those works, good works is doing good to the household of faith. That's fantastic. So we are to consider one another, to provoke unto love and good works. That's being especially kind to the household of faith. You know, when I used to, go out on dates once in a while. Now, just in case you're thinking about something, I haven't done this for a very long time. My hair was a different color back then. Sometimes after the date, I would say to myself, is this girl that I went out, did I help her in her life? Is she a little bit better, her going out with me tonight? Did I help her to provoke unto love and to good works? When we spend time with each other here, or we have dinner with somebody, or we go for a walk, or we hang out after, is that person a little bit better? Did we help that person because that person spent a little time with us? That's tremendous. We can bring the best out of each other, being especially good to the household. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 9. 1 Corinthians 9. 1 Corinthians 9. 1 Corinthians chapter 9 and in verse 19. These are some of my favorite verses also. 1 Corinthians 9:19. For though I be free from all men, yet have I made myself servant unto all, that I might do what? Gain the more. So here it's talking about us being servants so that we can gain people. The context here is helping people in the new birth. We're not talking about helping people in the new birth, but we're talking about being able to be especially good unto the household. But the same principle applies. For though I be free from all men, yet have I made myself servant unto all that I might gain the more. We're going to see how the Apostle Paul rolled, quote unquote. Verse 20. And unto the Jews I became as a Jew, that I might gain the Jews. And to them that are under the law as under the law, that I might gain them that are under the law. Unto them that are without the law as without the law, being not without the law to God, but unto the law of Christ, that I might gain them that are without law. To the weak I became as weak, that I might gain the weak. I am made all things to all men that I might by any means save what? So if we're all things to all men, that means that in a weekend like this, we can roll with different kind of people. We're servants like Joe was talking about, our commitment to God. See, and this is totally opposite than being in a believer clique. Cliques are kind of filled with people who are all the same, who have similar stuff. You know, in the body of Christ, if we're going to really help everybody in the body, in the household, then we need to be able to roll with all kinds of folks, don't we? You know, the Apostle Peter, when you really look at God's word, at times he allowed culture, he allowed his background, he allowed his religious beliefs to get in the way of his ability as a minister to minister to different types of people. He was bound by his culture. Here we are here. We have people from different countries, different colors, different languages, different backgrounds, whatever. So our ability to roll with different kind of folks enables us to be especially kind unto the whole household of believers, not just some believers that kind of look like us or speak the same language as us or like the same things that we do. And that's really, really important. Everybody stand up just for 1 second, okay? Okay, I have a glass of water here, okay? Everybody stand up, please. Stand up. Okay, now, take your hands and go up in the air like this. Okay, that's beautiful. Now, I want you to know that now we're going to have a little water baptism ceremony. Okay, so who needs to be cleansed? No, I better not ask that. Okay, okay, have a seat. Have a seat. So, as a mature believer, we line up everything according to God's word. My background, my culture, my this, my that. Everything is subjected to God's word so that we can bless so many people because we're a servant of God and his word. Let's take a look at another wonderful verse here in God's word. Let's take a look at Romans chapter 15. Romans 15. Romans 15. Romans 15. Look at verse 2. Romans 15, 2, it says, "Let every one of us please his neighbor for his what?" For his what? Let every one of us please his neighbor for his good to what? Suppose my neighbor wants to steal a Porsche and he wants me to help him. Should I please him? No, it's according to the word. It's for his good. So look at this. We're to be especially good to individuals. Look at how this ties right in. Let every one of us please his neighbor for his good to edification. Let's take a look at the context, verse 1. Romans chapter 15 and in verse 1. We then that are strong. The word strong could mean strong in ability or mature. Mature in the word. We then that are strong, we're mature in the word, ought to bear the infirmities of the weak. The immature, those that aren't as strong. Not as able. We then that are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak and not to please what? Ourself. Not to please who?
Ourselves.
Okay, let's practice this for a minute. Okay? Do all of you know what your belly button looks like? Who doesn't? Do you have an innie or an outie? Okay, all right, now. I would just like all of you, just for a second, to concentrate on your navel. Are you getting blessed? Stay your mind. Patty Hannon, stay your mind. Okay, now, come on. Trust me. Famous last words. Some of you have fear and you're not obeying. Okay, now. Stay your mind on your navel. Now. Are you aware of the needs in the body of Christ at this very time? Probably not. Because our focus is on ourselves. Look at verse 1. Check this out. We then that are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak and not to please who? Ourselves. You know, a man wrapped up in himself makes a very small package. A man that's wrapped up in himself makes a very small package. If we're staring at our navel all the time and pleasing ourselves, we're not going to see what's going on around us. We're not going to see the need. Let every one of us please his neighbor for his good to edification. So if I live me, myself, and I'm not going to be able to be especially good to individuals because I'm about myself. If I'm immature in God's word, I'm not going to be able to serve like that because my immaturity gets in the way. Verse 3, for even Christ pleased not who? Wow, he didn't stare at his navel all the time. He pleased God. He did God's word, and then he pleased others because he did what God wanted him to do. So, because we become mature, because we don't want to live for ourselves, that enables us to be especially good to the household. My immaturity or my lack or my selfishness can get in the way of being especially good to the household. There it is, right in God's word. And another thing, we need to give people some space. If people are new in the word, we can't expect them to act like mature individuals, right? For those of you who have five-year-old children, do you send your kids to work instead of school? Probably not. I hope not. If you do, maybe we could talk after this teaching today. You know, it's not loving to treat three-year-olds like 18-year-olds, is it? It's also not loving, though, for 18-year-olds to live like three-year-olds. Look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Especially good to individuals. Especially good to individuals. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. We're almost done here. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and in verse 15. This is excellent. Most excellent. Here we go. Is Josh Acevedo in here? Where's Josh? Josh, I'm going to need you in a minute. Would you help me in this teaching for a minute? I promise I won't hurt you. Okay, just hang on. Don't be afraid. I promise I won't hurt you. Okay, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Now, see that none render evil for what? Unto any man, but ever follow that which is what?
Good.
We're to follow that which is good, both among yourselves and to all men. So, verse 14, let's read this in the context. Now we exhort you, brethren, warn them that are unruly. Sometimes people get a little unruly. We're to warn them. We're to comfort the feeble-minded. The word feeble-minded could also be translated discouraged. Support the weak. Be patient. You know, be long-suffering unto all men. So that's how we're supposed to be. See that none render evil for evil. Sometimes we get annoyed, and it's easy to pay back, isn't it? It's easy to pay back. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. Have you ever tried to put out a fire by pouring gasoline on it? I'm glad you have it. It really doesn't work. Josh, come on up here. I'm going to kick his butt right now. Come on up here, Josh. Okay, now, we're not to render evil for evil, are we? Okay? No, wait a minute. This is a serious thing here. No, not really. Okay? So, be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with what?
Good.
We're trying to be especially good to the household. And in this context, you don't want to render evil for evil. Suppose somebody in the household does you dirty, gives you evil, we don't have to respond with evil. And how a lot of fights happen in life. How a lot of fights happen in life is somebody renders some evil for evil. For example, Josh. Okay, now. Okay, now, suppose I'm mad at Josh. He's done me dirty. Now I'm going to do some evil to him. No, now I push him. Now. He hasn't heard this teaching, and he's going to render some evil to me. Now I'm mad. Okay, that's it. No more. Give him a hand. Josh, you walked with a lot of wisdom. You could have really rendered some evil to me. We don't want to render any evil to anybody. So look, in summary then, God cares for each one of us individually, and God wants to give us good things. He's the Father. He's our Father, and he's not a respecter of persons. In the body of Christ, he deals with each one of us individually. Individuals get blessed. Jesus Christ, he had a lot on his plate, the redemption of every human being on the face of the earth for all time, yet he took time to minister, to heal, to deal with and help individuals. According to this teaching here and the theme for the weekend, we want to be especially good to individuals. And some preparation for that would be to get some Bible in the brain, to get some goodness on the inside so that it comes out. We want to avoid, you know, the wrong doctrine thing because that's not a good thing. And those people who teach that really aren't being especially good to the household of faith. We ought to consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works. Our commitment as being a servant to men helps us to be especially good to the household of faith. To all the household, because we want to roll with all kinds of people, not just people who are just like us. Our spiritual maturity and lack of selfishness enables us to please our neighbor for that which is for his own good. In dealing with individuals, we are to follow that which is good, not being overcome of evil, but overcoming evil with good. We are to consider one another to provoke unto love and good works. Let's walk with God and let's be especially good to individuals and the household of faith. Father, thank you for this wonderful word that you've given us. Thanks for taking care of us. Thank you for the privilege we have to know your word and to be here this weekend. Thank you for these things in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Okay, thank you very much.
That's great. You know, it's really cool. The stuff that Steve shared is so important. And you know, I know you mentioned it somewhere in the teaching, and I don't know if I'm going to express it the same way you did, but none of us are really alike. And, you know, like the people who kind of oversee New Jersey, which is a big kind of, you know, who knows exactly what we do, but, you know, like Steve and Bob and Joe and Michael and Dean and Albert and I, we really have nothing in common at all. Outside of God and His Word, we have different personalities. I was raised rich, and the rest of these guys, I'm independently wealthy. But, you know, Steve has a degree from Cal Berkeley in business, is that right? Business. Cal Berkeley, you know, that's the West Coast Ivy League. Bob Chatton, master's degree at Yale. You know, Michael has his degree from Rutgers University in what? And boy, you exemplified that in a very profound way today. English and communication. Joe and I have... we have some degrees. And, you know, Dean and Albert, they both graduated at Cooper Union, top-of-the-line architecture school, and none of us come from, you know, Joe's from Montana, Steve's from Sausalito, I'm from the other side of the bay, Michael's from upstate New York and also Basking Ridge, and Albert's from Jersey City. Dean lived in Miami and in Jersey City. Who else am I missing? Who? Oh, and Bob. He lived in all kinds of different places. And you know what? We get along so well because we agree with God. We agree that His Word is true. And you know what? It's a wonderful relationship. And I see that amongst you guys, amongst the fellowship coordinators. You guys are good to your people. You're wonderful to the people that you have the privilege of overseeing. And I think one of the reasons, if not the greatest reason, we have something wonderful here is because of the wonderful fellowship coordinators we have. They take care of their fellowship. People don't run in and tell them how to do it. They don't tell them what to teach, when to teach, who to teach it to, you know, blah, 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 A, B, C, E, B, D, boo, boo. No. We just kind of work together to the best of our ability, and you end up with something like this, which, you know, to me, it's still a dream. I'm so thankful that we can still live the mystery.